WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Catastrophic is how the National Weather Service calls the tornado today hitting Arkansas. Nearby Memphis, ABC's Victor Akendo.
In Little Rock, Arkansas.
It's going to hit the radio tower.
Storm chasers tracking the massive, fast-moving twister as it heads into the north side of the city of 200,000 people, downing trees, shearing roofs, splintering homes, and tossing vehicles everywhere. Little Rock's fire chief telling ABC News, there are significant injuries.
Former President Trump has been charged with about two dozen counts, including felonies, say sources familiar with the sealed indictment to ABC News. People across the U.S. rallying to mark International Transgender Day of Visibility. Washington rally noting some states passing laws restricting rights.
We're not a new idea. We're not a new group. We have always been here. We've always been part of the communities. And it's time to start recognizing that and to give us equal protections.
This is ABC News. Released from the hospital after 6 weeks of being treated for depression, Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman.
I had stopped leaving my bed. I've stopped eating, dropping weight. I stopped engaging some of the most things that I love in my life.
Fetterman telling CBS TV's Sunday morning show he'll spend the next 2 weeks at home before resuming duties in Washington. President Biden calling on Russia to release American journalist Evan Gershkovich, arrested Wednesday on spy charges. ABC's Stephanie Ramos at the White House.
A spokesman for the Kremlin, Dmitry Peskov, doubling down on Russia's claims Gershkovich was caught red-handed collecting state secrets for the U.S. The Wall Street Journal, which has denied the allegations, saying in an op-ed today, the timing of the arrest looks like a calculated provocation to embarrass the U.S. and intimidate the foreign press still working in Russia.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the Kripcast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natnair. Here's what you need to know. Rain is expected to move into Wisconsin, eventually turning over to snow. Plan for slippery travel conditions and be ready for the potential of some strong thunderstorms. These weather patterns expected to persist over the next several weeks. That brings with it a possibility of flooding. It will take more staff to speed up processing times for license applications in Wisconsin. The head of the Department of Safety and Professional Services, Dan Harith, telling the Budget Committee processing times now averaged 38 days compared to nearly 80 days in 2021. The department can't use its own budget surplus without the GOP-led legislature's approval. Governor Evers requested 20 new positions for the department in 2019-2021 and 12 in the following budget, but the legislature only approved one new position each time. The delays have kept thousands of workers waiting weeks to get their professional licenses. I'm Jane Natnair. This is Civic Media News.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
From some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to. Lots to talk about the Trump Show. I guess we're going to see a second season. More reruns of the same old insanity. But hey, you know, maybe we'll get a couple of riots. Maybe we'll be one or two more out there. In my neck of the woods, there was a lonely guy stomping around town square, with a sign wanting people to honk if they feel the country was in distress or somehow declining or whatever it was. But he was quite angry because, you know, in the couple of minutes that I sat there watching, he was adamant. He was shaking the sign at people and he was pointing and all kinds. Nobody paid him attention. I'm hoping as a country we look at this Trump show and we go justice across the board. If you commit crimes, you're held accountable from the president on down. I know this is a unique thing because we're not used to the wealthy and the powerful being held to the same standards as the rest of us working folks. We're not used to it. I get it. I get that there's going to be some tension. I get it. But we're going to see what happens next week on Tuesday. It's reported that Trump's going to fly into New York City on Monday. He's going to be arraigned on Tuesday. No handcuffs. So anyone who has this fantasy that they're going to force him to wear an orange jumpsuit and, you know, hands behind his back, or they're going to tackle him and slam him on the ground and do like they would do to the rest of us, that's not going to happen. But I guess there will be a mugshot. That may happen. And I got to assume it has to happen. And I'm waiting to see how they spin all that. I'm waiting to see how they spin the surrender, how they spin the fingerprinting. I'm waiting to see how this, goes. You know, and you know, maybe that could be, his presidential portrait. That, because I'm expecting him to do the Tom DeLay, which is the big cheesy smile with the congressional pin and everything. I'm expecting that. Maybe a thumbs up. I'm expecting that out of Trump to try and make a mockery of it. I'm looking at all of the Republicans who are just jumping to his defense. We haven't seen the indictment yet, but from what's been reported is he faces more than 30 charges related to business fraud. 30 charges. I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, I have to throw this out here. For a guy who doesn't email or text or do any of the, you know, as my grandfather said, you know, never write anything down. Don't write anything you don't want your grandmother to see. Never write it down. And look, DeSantis is the same way. They never email. They never write anything down. Everything is face-to-face in person. So the fact that they wrote a freaking check to a porn star for hush money is just mind-blowing. You would think a billionaire, a real billionaire, would have a couple of brown paper bags with 130 grand just laying around, you know, for the time when you need to hush someone up, when you need a little hush cash. But no, they wrote checks. And the only guy who's probably looking at this scenario going, boy, that was dumb, was Jerry Springer. Because if you remember, Jerry Springer got into a whole bunch of trouble and basically lost his career as mayor of Cincinnati for bouncing a check to a hooker. I mean, is this much different? So that's where my mind went today. But, you know, I guess it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because the F channel is going all in. They're calling for protests on Tuesday. Just to gin up the crowd, because this is a good organizing opportunity for them. Good list building. You're going to get some eyeballs back on the channel again. Going to bring their ratings back around. This is good for them. And they know it because, again, as Rupert Murdoch said, it's not about red or blue. It's about green. This will sell. This should get the base all foaming at the mouth and tingly in the panties and all wadded up and ready to go. And look, it's just not the F channel that's doing it. You had Marjorie Trainwreck Green out there, you know, tweeting out today, New York, put on your MAGA hats. Under our constitutional rights, we will support President Trump and protest the tyrants. I'll see you on Tuesday. And I'm sure you will see us on Tuesday. I'm sure. But here, this is one of those things going, I don't know. You know, the fact that you're calling this an unconstitutional witch hunt and you're riling people up kind of reminds me of a day, a day that people are going to remember, where, you know, people with horned hats were, you know, marching through the Capitol, destroying stuff, and people were urinating on desks and defecating on walls, breaking, you know, stabbing, you know, cops with flagpoles. You remember that day? And there's part of me that goes, this is what this crowd wants. They want that kind of, you know, show of support, if you will. Lindsey Graham, same thing. Lindsey freaking Graham, almost crying. He tweeted out, how can President Trump avoid prosecution in New York? On the way to the DA's office, he writes, Trump should smash some windows, rob a few shops, and punch a cop. He will be released immediately. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm actually rooting for that, because I would love to see those cops taken to the ground and then put him in that orange suit. Now, again, you know, Lindsey Graham, and I don't know what, I don't get Lindsey. I just don't. But he said to the Washington Examiner that this is a moment in American history. This is the most dangerous decision by a prosecutor in the history of the country. He's opened up Pandora's box against the presidency itself. This is a danger to the presidency. This is turning the rule of law upside down to destroy a man the left fears. And he goes on to say, don't let them get away with this. Vote. Show up at the ballot box. Give the man some money. And my mind, that's it right there. That's it. Because that's the Republican answer to everything. Give us money. They're like religious preachers. Give us money. You know, we God is all powerful, all knowing. Does just not really good with money. Send us money. Same thing with the GOP. Always. And I'm on all their email lists. Every day it's something. Give us money. Because it is. It's all a con. It's all a performance. It's all a show. And are we surprised that the con man in chief himself is at the center of this, and the Trump show is back, and it's going to get good ratings? Look, our mainstream corporate-controlled media, they can't help themselves. It is going to get good ratings. And what's interesting to me, and this is, again, one of these moments where I've been watching for the last several years, as the Tea Party folks and the MAGA hats and all of the right-wing extremists have been for years chanting, lock her up! You know, saying we should be, you know, impeaching Obama and locking him up, calling for Biden to be locked up right now. For what? I still don't know. But the people who have been saying they want to do this, and for crimes that they imagine, we're going to lock her up, we're going to lock him up, we're going to lock them up. it's interesting to watch them whine and complain like little snowflakes in their safe space. I mean, it's kind of comical. And the thing that gets me is they're all in. They have thrown completely into this. They're defending him. There's nothing here. And look, we haven't seen the indictment. But what we do know is that this case isn't difficult. Not a tough case. Not hard to figure out. Because understand, the Trump Justice Department, and this is the beauty of this, the Trump Justice Department found that hush money was paid to a porn star. Michael Cohen went to jail for it. Now, they conveniently forgot who the hush money was to benefit. You know, we've forgotten that Cicero Cui Bono, to whose benefit. We've forgotten that. But somebody went to jail for it. This was a crime. The Trump Justice Department said was a crime. So this isn't hard. This isn't difficult to figure out. Now, there are people who are going, well, you know, New York, they're going after him because, they're hostile. No, they're not hostile to Trump. Trump owned New York. That's his hometown. That's his turf. If there's anywhere in this country where Trump wants to have a trial, it's going to have to be in New York because he's greased more palms there than you can imagine. So this idea that, well, they're going after him and they're going to be hot. No. He's happy for it. And look, this is good for him in the primary. This is going to make him the martyr. This is going to get the Republican voters all angry. And this is what the Marjorie Three names and what the Lindsey Grahams and what the fake newses are doing. This is what they're doing. They're riling up the base, getting the base all tingly and wadded up in the panties so that they're going to go out and support this guy just to own the libs. That's what this is going to be. They're going to come out and do this just to own the libs. Now, I don't know how it'll play out in the general, but I think in the primary, this is a win for him, and he's going to play it for every bit. He's going to play the martyr card. Oh, we're going to see it. I'm going to, right now, even before I see the performance, I'm going to go to the Academy and ask for an Academy Award because I'm expecting this to come. I'm expecting the martyr, the victim. Oh, it's going to be interesting to watch at how good of a performance he can put on. And, you know, of course, how much whining and grievance and all that we're going to see. But interesting, gonna something to watch. Now, I've had people say, you know, that there's nothing here. And look, I'm on the boat that this is, compared to everything else, small potatoes. But someone went to jail for this. I mean, I keep coming back to that. Someone went to jail for this. And understand, well, you know, people are like, well, I don't know what the big deal was. He's paid off other women in the past. I mean, this Playboy bunny, he paid off $150,000 in the past. You know, this one was a little different, I think. Because if you remember the Access Hollywood tape, you know, the one where if he sees a woman, he's going to run on her like a you-know-what and grab her by the you-know-what. And you remember that? You know, the tape of, you know, I take what I want and, you know, I didn't get all of that. I'm not going to rehash all that. But, you know, do you think that would have cost him 70,000 votes if on top of that came the porn star story? When the fact of the matter is, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, 70,000 votes is what got him those states. So I find it interesting. We are going to watch this play out. This is much must-see TV. And I think it's going to be fun on a certain level to watch those who for years, in fact, in my neighborhood, had lock her up signs in their yards. I'm going to watch them whine and complain and carry on. Also, my favorite Truth over at Truth Social, the president at 3 o'clock in the morning, Donald Trump, truth out a question. Where's Hunter? And my thought went to, you know, I know where Hunter is right now. He's laughing at you because for all the calls to investigate and throw him in jail, you're the one who's been indicated. Want to hear your thoughts. Is this a smart move? Do you see this? How do you see this going? email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, or share your thoughts. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Again, this is going to be an interesting couple of days, especially, you know, Tuesday. There are some who are saying they're going to be big protests, big this, big that. The other thing that I'm reminded, and I talked to somebody who lives in New York, who reminded me that the New York police, they know how to handle these kind of big things, and they don't play games. So anybody with bear spray, yeah, let's go to the phones. Got Alice on line one. Alice, how you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I wanted to say this. This idea of you cannot arrest a former president for anything. So that means they can get away with murder, rape, all that kind of stuff? Is that basically what they're saying?
That's what he's saying. You remember Trump during the campaign. I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose a vote. That's what he believes.
Absolutely. Exactly. But apparently the rest of the Republicans believe that too, huh?
Yeah. No. Do you find it as interesting as I do that, you know, for the last several years, all we've heard is lock her up and lock up Obama, lock up Biden, lock up Pelosi, all this stuff. You're calling for exactly what Alvin Bragg is now doing, investigating crimes and holding people accountable. And I've been saying for a while, if Hillary Clinton committed all the crimes that they claim, that the right claim she's committed, and with all of the Republican district attorneys out there who are looking for a headline, how come nobody has brought her up on any charges? Either that or she's just the most brilliant criminal mastermind in the history of humanity.
Oh, I got to agree with you. Well, and don't forget, she supposedly got into the prison and did Jeffrey Epstein in. You know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you've got to remember one thing, Rick. Rules only apply to anyone that is not a Republican.
It's appearing that way, isn't it?
It is. But you have a good evening.
Thanks so much, Alice. I appreciate it. No, and look, I was not a Clinton fan by any stretch of the imagination, but for all the wet work that evidently they did and did not get caught, you know, if they committed all the crimes that my Republican friends over the years have told me they've committed, I think I do want them in the White House. I think I do want somebody who's smart enough to get away with stuff on a certain level. No, I'm not saying we should have criminals in political office. We got enough of those in CEO boardrooms. Real quick, key inflation numbers out today. According to the Federal Reserve, personal consumption expenditures price index, the key here is it's not as bad as as they were expecting. They were expecting it to be 0.4. It was 0.3, so it was lower than expected. The Dow Jones estimate and lower than 0.5, the 0.5 increase in January. So things, message, bottom line, things are better than the Fed thought they were. I don't know if this is just good messaging or who knows what's going to come on down the road. But we're in this moment where they're saying, you know, hey, we're finally holding prices down. You know, our scheme to raise interest rates is moving things in the right direction. And my mind goes like this. A lot of our price increases, especially at the grocery store, at the pump, a lot of our consumer prices have gone up for one reason. Good old-fashioned American greed. And Sherrod Brown, Ohio senator, he tweeted out, surprise, surprise, high egg prices aren't just a supply issue. They're a corporate price gouging. And he tacks on this story about Cal-Maine Foods, the largest egg producer in the country. And their revenue, now remember, had a shortage. Remember, we've had all these problems. Remember, you know, supply and demand, there's no supply. Their revenue doubled and their profits went up. I hope you're sitting for this and not driving in heavy traffic. Profits surged 718% last quarter. So if you're paying $6, $7, $8, $9 a dozen for eggs, you are just filling the pockets of these CEOs and these shareholders. And I've been saying it for a long time. Look, I have not gone into a store where there have not been eggs on the shelf. I have not been in any of the grocery stores in our area where they go, sorry, out of eggs. You know, there's a huge shortage. Now, remember, that's what we're told, you know, a big part of the raise in costs are. You know, there's the inputs, of course, because we need the corn and stuff. And I'm hearing that, you know, from the Midwest, they've got more than we need. So there doesn't seem, how much gas goes into egg production? Is it enough to give them a 718% surge in profits? Now, remember, again, we're told that the reason the prices go up is because the costs for these companies are going up. But I bring back to you, 718% profit. It's incredible. Their net income went to $323.2 million from last year, $39.5 million. You go, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because egg prices went from, I think, $1.60 last year, somewhere around there, to the average in February was $3.30. How do you justify it more than doubling? How do you do that? I guess the incredible edible egg is profit. I guess that's what that is. Now, again, this is, you know, the free market. You know, the free market does this. But this isn't the free market. Now, as I've said a number of times, stop buying eggs. You want to stop this? Just stop buying them. But we're not going to. We as Americans, we're just going to take the beating. We're going to continue to shell out the money, and they're going to continue because they know it. They know you're going to keep paying it. And we're going to complain about government. And that's what they know. They know it's all Joe Biden's fault. So as I've been sitting here for the last several months going, no, this inflation is not Joe Biden's fault. It's not because he gave you $1,400 and you were irresponsible with it. It's because these corporations see an opportunity. And when capitalists see an opportunity, that means you're getting screwed. That means more money's coming out of your pocket. Because they got you. They got you by the short hairs, man. Or by the eggs. We'll go with that. They've got you by the eggs. Or whatever it is you're going to buy. Because we've seen all of these prices go up. So the question is what are we going to do about it? I keep saying, where's our Senate commission? You know, it's great that Sherrod Brown pointed this out. It's great that we see these things come up occasionally. But where's this generation's Harry Truman? Where's this generation's Teddy Roosevelt? Where are these people who are going to take on the profiteers and the gougers and the consolidation, the monopolization? Who is going to be, who's going to be this generation's TR or Truman? Who? I'm hoping for Sherrod Brown. Love to see him run for president. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1969. That was the day Dr. Ralph Abernathy, president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, arrived in Charleston, South Carolina, to address striking hospital workers and their supporters. More than 400 black hospital workers at Medical College Hospital and Charleston County Hospital had walked off the job earlier in the month. They demanded an end to racial harassment and discrimination, wage increases, union recognition, and the reinstatement of fired co-workers. It was yet another instance where workers' struggles embodied the broader social debates of the day. Struggles for racial and gender equality, as well as the rights of public sector workers to organize, especially in the South, all converged in Charleston. Workers at both hospitals sought out Local 1199, which had already organized hospital workers in New York City. Local 1199B was soon chartered, and Mary Moultrie, a licensed nurse from Medical College Hospital, was elected president. 12 workers were fired when the new union demanded recognition. That's when they voted to go on strike. Picketers were met with injunctions and arrests. The president of MCH, William McCord, stated that he would not, quote, turn a $25 million complex over to a bunch of people who don't have a grammar school education. He and Governor Robert McNair cited the state's right to work law as justification for refusal to recognize the union. The SCLC arrived in Charleston to lend its support. Speaking to 1,500 workers and their supporters, Abernathy linked the struggles of Local 1199B to those of meat packers and sanitation workers. He also charged that Congress would rather spend millions on war than to stand people on their feet in Charleston. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
Until recently, kids were thrilled when their parents said, "We're going to Disney World." But that was in the before times, before Florida's autocratic governor put Disney World under the control of his state's thought police, turning it into DeSantis World. Having made kid-friendly Disney kowtow to his own magic kingdom of right-wing ideological conformity, Governor Ron is now demanding that the entire Sunshine State convert to the darkness of DeSantis World. A major tactic in his push is to rewrite the state's school books to, quote, protect young ones from having to learn that such historical unpleasantness as racism and sexism have shaped their society and are still doing so. To advance Ron Think, he has rammed his Stop Woke Act into law, requiring teachers to soften or just eliminate references to America's racial problems. Pretend it never happened is Professor DeSantis' instruction. Indeed, one educational publisher obediently followed his dictate by rewriting the uplifting 1955 story of Rosa Parks confronting the flagrant institutional racism of Montgomery, Alabama's public bus service. Before DeSantis, the publisher told the story straight. Quote, in her city, the law said African Americans had to give up their seats if a white person wanted to sit down. Parks would not give up her seat. The police came and took her to jail. Now, after DeSantification, here's the publisher's rewrite. One day, Parks rode the bus. She was told to move to a different seat. She did not. She did what she believed was right. No reference to her even being African American or to the law requiring her to bow to any white person's demand for her seat. And no mention of police hauling her to jail because of the color of her skin. This is Jim Hightower saying, DeSantis World is where people's dream of social justice goes to die.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I started the show off today, the Trump show is back. I mean, this is all we're going to hear about. for days and days. And I still like the idea. I think his mugshot should be his presidential photo or his presidential portrait, because you know he's going to go and mug it up for the camera. He has to. You maybe some thumbs up, or there's going to be something ridiculous that comes out of this. But here to share some thoughts on the case and whether this is a joke, as I've had some people tell me, whether this is small potatoes or whether this is potentially serious, I've asked my good friend Renato Mariotti to come share some thoughts with us. Renato's a former federal prosecutor and host of the It's Complicated podcast. We'll get links out on how you can check that out. Renato, thanks for taking time for us.
Happy to be here, Rick.
So let's start with what we know so far. I've seen that there are probably somewhere upwards of 30 charges that are part of this. Now, nobody knows. I guess it's still sealed, but this is what's come out. You know, how bad do you think this is? How bad could it be? Thoughts?
Well, first of all, whenever you're indicted with committing felonies, that's a serious thing. You know, I think it's one thing that's has blown my mind is people have been like blasé about it on the internet. I mean, there's people on Twitter telling me like, oh, you know, aren't there going to be any consequences for this guy? And it's like, well, he just got indicted. Like, you know, for people, I was a federal prosecutor for a long time, and you know, I've been in private practice for several years. And when I represent somebody who's been indicted, it's like a major life event for them.
Yeah.
I mean, for most people, and you'll say, well, yeah, but they're not rich. Well, no, most people who can can afford my law firm, have good money, doing pretty well for themselves. And it is hard. There's people who want to commit suicide. There's people who they're devastated. You know, their reputation is destroyed. Their business is in a difficult spot. They're not sure how they're going to go on. So I think no matter what Trump is saying, no matter what BS is getting flung, it's a big deal. And you know what? There's more, you know, criminal cases on the way.
Yeah.
So very challenging situation for him.
And that's the thing. This, in my look, I'm not a lawyer. I don't even play one on TV. But this seemed to me to be the least serious of all the things that he's charged with. Is that somewhat accurate?
Yeah, I mean, based on what we know, I've been very careful. You know, all the Trumpsters are, you know, denouncing this. It's this and that. They haven't even read the indictment yet. So I'm being cautious because I haven't read the indictment. I don't know all the evidence. But based on what we hear, if this is really just the hush money payments and campaign, you know, alleged campaign finance case, like, yeah, that's really a lot more problematic for the prosecutors than the Fulton County case of January 6th or the others.
What's interesting to me, though, I mean, if he's got a history of paying off people. He kind of lives his life like a mobster. He doesn't write anything down, doesn't do email or any of that stuff. It's curious to me that you just don't have a bag of money laying around for when you need it. Why you would write a check for anything is beyond me, because immediately I'm going back to Jerry Springer bouncing a check to a hooker, and I'm going, you know, you don't have a little bit of cash laying around and you're a billionaire?
It's an interesting thing. You know, if you're, you know, semi-legitimate, whenever you withdraw or deposit over $10,000 worth of cash, there's a form that's a CTR that's filled out. And so, real criminals know to avoid that, right? Yeah, they have cash and they, you know, they got it buried like a pirate, you know, or hidden someplace. But true story, I mean, you know, you're dealing with a real criminal where they can, you know, have cash scrolled all over the place. Yeah, it's interesting. Most white collar folks try to disguise transactions in other ways. And he's not alone. I mean, the former Speaker of the House, Dennis Astert, was, you know, withdrawing money from his bank account to pay off, underage children that he was, they're no longer were children at that time, but people he had abused. You know, he was using his bank account as well.
Yeah, no, it's just amazing to me. So what are we expecting Tuesday? Now, they say he's not going to be handcuffed. He's going to have to come in and he's going to have to be arraigned. Will there be a mugshot and fingerprinting? Will they make this a display thing? Will this be something done in a closet off the, if you're the prosecutor, how do you handle this?
Okay. Well, first of all, he's going to get fingerprinted. He's going to get booked. That's just part of the deal. Okay. When you've been, indicted, it's always a crazy thing, no matter how small the case is, and if the person's coming in on their own recognizance, so to speak, they still got to get booked. The booking photo won't get released. And you're not going to see him. You're going to see him in a business suit or whatever he would, you know, a Trump t-shirt, whatever he decides to wear, I assume a business suit. And he's not going to be in handcuffs. You will be able to see him like walking in the hall in the courtroom. They occasionally let a photographer in to take a photograph, like a still photograph. So we may see a photograph from inside the courtroom.
Yeah.
But it's not. You know, it's not like a court TV, right?
Yeah, no, because I got it in my mind that they're gonna make a mockery of this. That they're, and you can disagree with me if you think that. I think he's gonna make a total mockery of this. He's gonna play the victim. He's gonna play the martyr. My mind went to the famous Rosa Parks video or former photo of Rosa Parks being fingerprinted. My mind went to that today. I think they're gonna try and make him being fingerprinted like in the same world. That the left is martyring this poor guy, and it's like a rallying cry. But I could be wrong.
You know what I came to mind for me, Rick. I mean, you and I are thinking in similar vein. What came to mind for me is, remember when he got COVID?
Yeah.
And they like pumped him full of a bunch of drugs in the hospital. And he came back to the White House. And he's like, you know, I don't remember. He had his arms up, like, yes, I've overcome. You know, he's out on the balcony. Strutting around, you know, I could just see him strutting around outside the courthouse and be like, you know, I'm, you know, he's like remains undefeated, or, you know, he's going to defeat the Democrats or whatever.
I just see this going that way. Now, do you see it as interesting as I do? Because I'm listening to Marjorie Three Names. I'm listening to Lindsey Graham, all of the right wing mouthpieces, you know, saying, oh, this is the end of the Republic. You're destroying the presidency. Now, these are the people who for years were saying lock Hillary up. Go after Obama, you know, impeach Biden. These are people who've been calling for this kind of stuff for years. And now that it's gone against their guy, well, this is a bridge too far.
Yeah, well, you're telling me the Republicans are hypocrites? It's really surprising, Rick. I hadn't considered that before. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, what's going to be interesting to me is what happens when more indictments drop. You know, what happens when Fulton County comes? I mean, that one I think we can feel confident about, because let's face it, that grand jury foreperson wasn't exactly a poker player, was she?
No, not at all.
She didn't hold her cards close to the vest. So we pretty much know at least that one's coming. So at a certain point, like, you know, is anyone on their side, are they going to take this seriously? Is everyone in some grand conspiracy? One thing I find funny is they always talk about, like, the left or the Democrats or they, whoever they is.
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
As if you and I are the same guy as Alvin Bragg. Like, we all sit around in a room together and plot, you know, what we're going to do next. The reality is probably most people didn't want Alvin Bragg. Like, what is Alvin Bragg doing? I'm sure Jack Smith is sitting there in D.C. like, you know, hold off, Bragg. I got a case over here. But, you know, people do what they're going
to
do.
It'll be interesting to see if now the floodgates open. And you see, you know, the attorney there in Atlanta, you see the people at the DOJ coming forward. Who knows? And does this help? Do you think this helps or hurts him? I think the common wisdom is in the primary, it's going to help him because the base is going to be all lathered up because, you know, they're martyring our guy. But in the general, I don't see that any of this helps him in a general.
Yeah, I mean, look, the numbers out there that I've seen appear to suggest that it's helping him, at least in the short run. I wonder, though, Rick, will it really even help him in the primary when he gets indicted, like, in a lot of places? Like, you know, there was this pile on with certain defendants, right? Like, you know, R. Kelly. Like, every prosecutor in America started charging that guy. He was facing, like, five different cases. Avenatti, Harvey Weinstein. Like, if Donald Trump gets in that category, if there's, like, four indictments out there, for this guy, like, at a certain point, is there anybody in the Republican Party who's like, well, you know, maybe we should indict the guy who's not, you know, facing four different criminal indictments? I don't know.
See, I still think the base is so loyal that they aren't going to believe any of it, and that's going to be enough to keep him at the front of the Republican Party, at least through the primary. I could be wrong, but I got to tell you, I want him to stand for election in 2024, and I want him to be soundly defeated so that maybe we have a chance to push back on all the insanity he's brought forth. So that brings up the question then, if he is the nominee, and I don't know, I don't have a crystal ball to say he will, but it looks like possibly, when do these trials hit? I mean, is it possible they push these off until he's actually president if he wins, and then it's 4 years down the road before they can do anything? I know this is unprecedented, but how could this play out?
Well, let's put aside the president thing for a minute. Like, let's just say that this guy was John Doe, you know, CEO of a big company. I would tell him, look, New York courts are really backlogged, and you got a lot of potential legal challenges you can raise in this case. There's a lot of unusual things going on there. This case probably not going to go to trial until 2024 at least. So you can, you know, there's a lot that you could do in this case to, you know, push it off even further. Now, but one strategic thing, just legally, by the way, I'll just say is, you know, when you have multiple indictments, often you try to speed the weak ones up. Like, you speed up the weak one, you slow down the rest of them, so your weakest case goes first. But, you know, going to the presidency point, you know, we have never had a situation where, we'll start federal, where, you know, one branch of government, the judiciary, is trying to imprison the, is imprisoning the executive, right? And we certainly never had a situation where you had one level of government, you know, like a state or a local government, try to imprison the federal executive. I don't know what happened there. That's probably above my pay grade. That's some sort of like, it sounds like a what if episode, or, you know, Marvel what if or something, more than a constitutional law question. But it blows my mind. That's beyond my understanding.
Now, this whole thing, no one would have written this script. If you wrote this script and went to Netflix, they wouldn't even send you to Hulu. They would just show you the door.
Oh, it's insane. It's one of those movies that if you have one of those movies where it's like, it's so hard to believe, like, oh, the president's on the plane and he ends up beating up all the terrorists and taking over the plane with his bare hands. Like, this is like one of those, right? I mean, it's pretty insane, the things we're contemplating here.
But hey, look, I've got some Trump supporter friends who've got flags of Trump looking like Rambo. That version of him could take on people on the plane.
Yeah, right. Or there's also the one with the founding fathers all praying for him, laying hands on him. Yeah.
This is, again, just way, way out. But as I'm looking at this and I'm looking towards Tuesday. I see, you know, Marjorie Three names and everyone calling for protests. While we're kind of making light of this now, this could turn seriously deadly, because there are people trying to stoke the anger and get people all riled up and bunched up in the panties. April 19th is coming very soon. I've got some serious concerns of where we're going as a country, especially when you're looking at some of the people who are doing some of the things they're doing.
You know, it's interesting. I think Trump is trying to rile up people to do like January 6th 2.0. And here's a prediction for you, Rick. Here's a hot take. I think imprisoning a lot of those people worked. It's been interesting to see. I follow a lot of right-wingers online. It's been very fascinating to see some of the right-wingers be like, yeah, it's a bad idea. Trump didn't help any of us. Like, when we got in prison, like, let's not do this. Lots of like super right wing people, Jack Posobiec and Jenna Ellis and a lot, you know, Jesse Kelly, all these right winger, like super right wing MAGA types. Like, yeah, no, we're not going to rot in prison for this guy. Please do not follow this command. I think it's hilarious.
No, it is hilarious, because, you know, if he didn't do anything, you're right. If he didn't do anything from the first time, he's not going to do anything again. But the other frame that I keep hearing from those folks is they've got it in their mind that the FBI caused January 6th. So even just being around these places, they believe that it was the FBI that's responsible. You know, they did this, and that if they go to another one, the FBI could do another thing, and that might keep them away.
Yeah, or it's Antifa, or a plant, or something else. Right? There's always someone to blame, and then yet, the people who get arrested are heroes, right? These are the same guys who have the number one best-selling album on iTunes, singing with Donald Trump, right? The January 6th choir. They're a bunch of Antifa FBI informants who just happen to be Donald Trump fans, and we should all buy their album.
It's Donald Trump's backup band, Antifa FBI. You're right. You're thinking this through too much. You gotta put that brain away.
There you go.
Stop
it's
it.
Like 1984. 1 + 1 = 3, right? You have to believe the absurd.
That's the new math. Evidently, that's the new math. They were complaining about Common Core. This is no core.
Yeah, no kidding. It makes no sense.
So last question I've got for you on this, because again, this is what we're looking down the barrel of over the next several days. I have some concerns over. Do you think a timeline for the other ones are coming soon? Any word on the succession of possible more, or is this going to be it for a while?
Yeah, I will tell you, I did not expect the Manhattan DA case to proceed like this. I that's really came out of nowhere as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, especially since they said they were taking a month off.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And then even before that, right, didn't like Bragg had kind of decided not to follow along with what Cy Vance is doing. And then this hush money thing came out of nowhere. It's not like it's a new development or something, like Stormy Daniels just showed up, right? It was kind of interesting. Fulton County, I mean, I thought that was going to be the first indictment, and that you know, yeah, probably will come in the next few months. And then I don't know what Jack Smith's doing, but he's very aggressive. I mean, there's a guy hauling in Mike Pence. He's going after Trump's lawyers and getting the crime fraud exception to get all their private notes of their conversations with Trump. I mean, he's really going hard. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest danger. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever watched like the Lord of the Rings movies where it's like, oh, you have all the different waves of the bad guys that come. And it's like at the, you know, you know, it's like, oh, you think you got one, you know, you've got the bad, you know, there's one wave of guys coming and then another and another. I mean, this is sort of like Jack Smith's the kind of the final wave, you know, for Donald Trump. Very difficult problem for him.
Well, we're going to see how this plays out, as the Trump show is probably going to get top ratings for a while. So Rupert Murdoch should be happy, not about right or left, not about red or blue. It's about green. He might be raking it in. But Renato, I appreciate you sharing some of your expertise with us, and I hope you'll come back and keep us informed as this moves on down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff. Our good friend Renato Mariotti. Make sure you check out his podcast, the It's Complicated podcast. You can find that wherever you find your favorites. Gonna take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. On the phone.
Open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1883. That was the day that cowboys went out on strike. The cowboys worked in the Texas Panhandle. Increasingly, the ranch land in the region was coming under the control of large corporate ownership. Cowboys saw their way of life changing. Work as a cowboy had always been hard. They often slept under the stars or in a tent. They worked long hours at tough physical jobs. At the end of a long day, all they had to look forward to was a simple meal of camp food. But it had been the practice that cowboys could retrieve part of their pay in newly birthed calves. Some cowboys were also allowed to round up unbranded cattle. In these ways, they could create small herds for themselves and get a stake at independence. But the new corporate owners clamped down on this practice. They also placed restrictions against cowboys gambling, carrying weapons, and drinking. Seasoned cowboys from three ranches gathered to plan a response to the changes. They penned a letter and sent copies to five large ranches. It read, in part, "We, the undersigned cowboys of the Canadian River, do by these presents agree to bind ourselves into the following obligations. First, that we will not work for less than $50 per month." 24 cowboys signed the letter, but the ranchers were able to hire scab labor. The strike ended in defeat. Change had come to the Panhandle, and not in a good way. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So Renato brought up Mike Pence, and I got to tell you, the Mike Pence thing popped into my head. Did you see the Wolf Blitzer interview with him, where he said, "I think the time has come for federal legislation that would bring the death penalty to anyone that engages in a mass shooting that claims lives. There is so much insanity in that statement. You know, there should be the death penalty if anyone mass shoots and kills people. That's generally what mass shootings bring us. But here's the thing. Here's the one thing that, you know, my friends on the death penalty side, I'm not a death penalty person. I don't believe in federal murder. I don't believe in state-sponsored murder. I do understand vigilante justice. I do. And I understand you touch my kid, you know, think bad things are going to happen. And I'll take my chances with a jury. And I think a lot of people think that way. But I'm not in favor of state-sponsored murder. I'm not in favor because I know how unequally it is applied. You know, people with resources tend to get away with double murder. Maybe we've seen that once before. But this, you know, I saw this and I'm going, okay, the time's come for federal legislation for the death penalty for people who do these mass shootings. And my mind goes, you know, how many mass shooters have lived? I can think of that Dylan Roof guy, but they took him to Burger King, which is weird. He just shot some black people. What, you know, what's wrong with that? Evidently, because you do that, go to Burger King. But most of these people, they don't care about living. They go into this knowing this is going to be my last day. So it's not the deterrent I think Mike Pence thinks it is. Now, understand, you know, people on that side of the aisle, they're, you know, this is, we're going to iron fist and we're going to show them. If you're going to go and engage in this kind of activity, if you're going to go out and, you know, I'm going to go shoot up a place, you're not thinking about the death penalty. You're not worried about the consequences. This is how ridiculous this argument is. Now, again, the idea here is to get away from talking about the fact that guns kill people. I know people kill people, but guns help. Yes, they do it much more efficiently than, you know, butter knives and plastic spoons. But this is to change the narrative. And to have, you know, Pence going, well, we should bring back the death penalty on the is just stupid. But again, this is what they do. This is how they change the narrative. What we should be doing is talking about, and I've had a bunch of these conversations here recently, talking about giving people a fighting chance. Now you got people, well, you know, put a gun in every classroom. I'm sorry. I don't think the teachers want that, or I don't think it's going to help. But I'm not against having people, security people on the premises, you know, walking the perimeter. I just don't want it to end up being an armed camp. You know, when I went to Mexico years ago, and when I got off the plane, the one thing that popped into my vision was they had, you know, sand barricades set up on all the street corners with people with stationary machine guns. And I'm going, wait a second. I don't feel safer. I know the bad people are, I'm not feeling the love. Is that what we're going to do out in front of every one of our schools so that gun nuts can have their toys, so that we can have something that is going to blow off 100 rounds? And I had an interesting conversation with one of my gun fetish acquaintances. And I said, look, you know, I've been in situations where people have used handguns to shoot other people with. And you learn to count. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's out. I don't know that you can count to 100 fast enough as the bullets are going out. I don't know that I would trust my counting. So you don't really have a chance. Maybe we could be talking about some of that. Maybe we could be talking about background checks and red flag laws, all kinds of things. And here's what the response always is. Well, you're not going to stop all of them. And of course you're not going to stop all of them. There's always going to be someone who's going to do something bad. But you know what you can do? You can make it more difficult for them. Because I'll bet you this woman in Nashville, I'll bet you couldn't go buy 5 guns legally with the mental health background that she had. I got to think those 3 kids, those 3 9-year-olds, they got a chance. I got to think that. I think if you make it more difficult to go through the paperwork and answer questions and go through the hoops to get it, I got to think that barrier going to weed out at least some. And I know your convenience to be able to get whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, is much more important than the families of those 3 9-year-olds. I get that. But as a society, this is a conversation we better figure out how to get our minds around. And I know my Republican friend.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.